I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, just Josh at the top of the episode to say thank you all for downloading this episode. Also, thanks everyone who's been buying tickets to the live shows coming up in Melbourne. We're about a third of the way sold out for them. So, you know, if you wanted to come along, come along is what I'm saying. Tickets are at joshearl.com.au/gigs. Takes you straight there. It's $75 for a season pass. $15 per episode if you just want to come to one episode. And if you want to wait until the day, they're going to be $20 on the door if there's any available. But the way things are going, I don't think there will be. So thank you very much for that. Hey, this is some news about the podcast. So as you may be aware, the podcast, it takes a lot to do this podcast. I've got to, one, source the guests, then write all the questions, find all the information, and then edit it and put it up. And it's, you know, for something that I give out for free, it's a lot of work. So I, like most people who do podcasts, I'm starting up a Patreon page. That is right. After making fun of it last week, I thought I had someone's right. Why don't you have one? And I thought, yeah, why don't I? It's just because I'm an idiot who doesn't like asking people for money or help. So if you are a listener to the podcast and you would like to help out, I have a Patreon page. So you go to www.patreon.com/DYKWIA. Stands for Don't You Know Who I Am. So it's all there. So I understand some people are like, I don't even know what Patreon is. It's just a way that you could donate money once a month to helps just keep the podcast running. And all the money I'm donated, I will then put into trying to film some more episodes. So I want to film these ones that are going to be in Melbourne, the live ones. I want to film them. They won't be as good a quality as the ones, but they'll be up on YouTube and all that kind of stuff. So if you weren't there, you'd better see it. So it's stuff like $1, great, $2, great, $5. Get your name thanked on the live ones in the credits. $10, you get all that as well. $20, if you're, $20 a month, you will get a bonus episode once a month. That's right, even more work for myself. So it'll be a bonus episode plus all the little bits that I take out because of defamation stuff. I thought I can give them to you guys if you want to get those bits that, you know, say a certain Lawrence Mooney comes on the show, for instance. The bits that I'm like, ah, oh, maybe not. I don't want news.com doing a story about me. And then $50, if you donate $50, you're amazing. You also get free entry to any live podcast that I do in the future. If it's in your town, even if it's not in your town, you want to come. You know. And then if you do $100 or more, like, man, you're amazing. Crazy, but amazing. Any show of mine, any show, I don't care what it is, like, you get in. Your name's permanently on the door. So this is all the Patreon. So go to patreon.com/DYKWIA. DYKWIA. So that's exciting if you're into it. If you're not into it and just enjoy the podcast, that's exciting too, because this one is a very good episode. Thank you for downloading it again, and hopefully I see you in Melbourne. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week on the internet's Josh Earle, the editor, has done it again. That's right, Josh Earle in America, he's been nominated for another Emmy for Deadliest Catch. Come on, Joel. Come on, American Joel, you can do it. But it'll take his tally to 6 if he wins. Good on you. If this is your first time to the podcast, I get 4 very funny people and quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest is a comedian who, when you type his name into Google, the related searches are age, Perth, and doctor. Please welcome from Something for the Drive Home and We Are Not Doctors podcast, it's comedian Bart Freeman.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Whoa. Hey, Bart.
Hey. How you doing, Joel? Good.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
I reckon you're one of the people I text pretty much once a fortnight to say, hey, you in town? Can you do this?
And I'm like, I'm on a ship. I'm under the ground. I'm fighting lizards.
Also joining us is a first timer to the podcast. He shares his name with the president of Emirates, a jockey, and a Melbourne remedial massage therapist. But the one we have here is comedian and member of Chimp Cop. Please welcome, it's Tim Clark.
Thank you very much. Those positions really went down in prestige and still better than a call center worker.
Are you saying a jockey is better than a massage therapist?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Yeah. If you read them backwards, it's like a Pokemon evolution. You start with massage therapist, jockey, then use the moonstone.
Are you aware of all of them? Or
No.
Did you know about the president of Emirates?
No, I did not know. I share my name, Timothy Clark, what up, with the president of Emirates. I usually get people tweeting at the British comedian from the 80s, Tim Clark.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, he didn't come up.
No.
You came up before him. So
that is very surprising.
Also, he was the president of Sri Lankan Airlines before Emirates.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
Let's get a moonstone.
Are we talking about the jockey or the
Emirates? Yeah, the jockey. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also joining us is a return guest who shares her name with an actor from the TV show Ghosted, an English professional tennis player whose career Grand Slam record is 4 matches in Grand Slams, 0 wins, but still earning a career total of $260,000 from tennis. But the one we have here is comedian. It's Alex Ward.
Yeah. I'm so glad I can talk now.
Everyone can talk.
I just didn't want to talk because everyone would be like, who is she?
No, yeah. It's fine. You can talk because they've already downloaded it and your name's in the title of the episode.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, here I am.
Did you know about Alex Ward, the tennis player?
I know about Alex Ward because obviously that's the first result. You have to type Alex Ward comedy to get me. I was really hoping he wouldn't be super funny because he was just always him. Good on him. I think for a loser, he earns really good money.
That's pretty good.
He's not really a loser. He's made it pretty well.
But yeah.
But it was a whole career though, right?
He's still going.
Is he still going?
Yeah. But like 260, let's say over 10 years, isn't that's only like $26,000 a year, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Big bucks. It's not sweet.
I think I'm the better Alex therapist. For once.
Mm. Pretty much how comedy works as well.
Yeah. So, there's only a very few tennis players that become like Dave Hughes.
I can't wait to perform at a Grand Slam just while they walk out.
And finally is a man who shares his name with nobody.
Mm.
Can you please welcome from Two in the Think Tank, it's comedian Alistair Trombley-Birchall.
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Yeah.
I have a long name.
I was gonna look up Alistair Trombley and Alistair Birchall to see if there's anyone, but I just couldn't be bothered now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's like, you know, it's hard being unique, you know, just one of a kind.
Does anyone share my name?
No.
So we're the same.
Yeah, so I guess in many ways. Yeah.
We're not unique at all.
We're unique in different ways, I guess you could say, but I guess, you know, but that ruins your joke.
Yeah, if we're both unique, though, then we're...
The same. Yeah. Especially if our names are both unique.
Yeah. Which is...
Michael Unique.
Yeah.
Our first game today is called Social Me Media. Well, I'll read out a status update by one of you four. You have to buzz in and tell me who you think wrote the tweet or the Facebook update.
Okay.
Your names are your buzzers.
Okay.
You get a point if you get it right. If you get it wrong, the person who actually wrote it, they get the point. So you can't buzz in for your own. Poker faces on. Your first question is this one. An espresso martini is just an upper-class vodka and Red Bull.
Michael Unique.
Oh.
What just happened there?
I heard Michael Unique, which is not a player. So I'm going to go with Tim. Yes, Tim.
I'm going to go with Bard on that one.
You are correct. Yes, a point there for Tim.
What? Who would have thought a coffee board. Thing?
I legitimately thought I wrote that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say my name because I was like, I wrote that. Yeah. Like,
you got two words in, I heard coffee, I thought, okay, here we go.
You know why you thought you wrote it? Because we were talking about it when I wrote it.
Oh, so I'm not just insane.
No, okay. No. We were like in backstage at the Comedy Store talking about vodka Red Bulls.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm going to tweet that.
Now, all four of the people in this room are good at Twitter, very fun on Twitter. They don't just... talk about Trump all the time, which I'm at the point of this podcast where I'm like, do I stop doing this first round? Do I just do something else? But I can't think of anything else to do in the first round.
Because you got too many people that are boring on Twitter.
Not boring on Twitter.
Just no joke. Less
just
jokes.
No jokes, yeah.
More
yeah.
statements.
Yeah.
Less jokes.
Yeah.
A lot of plugs for their own gigs.
Plugs for their own gigs, stuff we should care about. Political stuff.
By the way, I don't talk about Trump because I call him 45. I don't want to give him the advertising.
Oh.
No, that's not true. But
he flies with us a lot, so I got to give him all the Rex he can. So.
Question two. Like the chicken and egg, what came first? Funky specs or menopause?
Tim Clark.
Yes, Tim.
Do I have to say my full name?
No, just Tim's fine.
Because I feel like if Alistair is a serious disadvantage at that point. Alex?
You are correct.
Did you read that online?
Oh, I think
yeah, you're my only Twitter follower.
Oh, cool. All right. Again, advantage Tim Clark.
If he's your only Twitter follower, don't worry about tweeting this when it comes out. You're fine. You don't have to. The rest of you can just
call. I'll still do it.
But, yeah, thanks.
But also, don't think that because she was tweeting about menopause that she's going to be the only person who will be tweeting about menopause. I got about 10 menopause tweets out there. So
10.
Yeah.
Man, I got to get busy. I'm way behind.
Yeah. Get work, man.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the red spectacles. If you're wearing red frames, means you're more likely to work in arts admin.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got short, grey, spiky hair.
Yeah. Or it's brown with a little some white tips.
Or if you're a little bit of purple in it.
Yeah, you got to match the tip of the hair to the specs.
Yeah. Mm.
You've got a necklace that is very loud.
You keep
big
it next to your
chunky brooch.
You keep it next to your scarf wardrobe.
Oh. Yeah. And you love Pinot. Yeah.
And your lipstick is on your teeth.
Yeah. And you catch the tram.
If you were a pull string doll, it would just say, don't tell HR.
you're a member of the Wheeler Center.
Yeah. Question three. I call my bedroom the boneyard because I did a lot of chicken there.
But, Alex.
Yes, I heard Bart. Yes.
Tim.
Yes, you are correct. Point that to Bart. Yes.
Yeah.
Wordplay about sex. Yeah, baby. My wheelhouse.
I do just imagine you having just bones. Just wing bones all through your room.
I did tweet that last night whilst eating some chicken in bed.
Excellent.
It's pretty good. Oh,
it's nice to be behind the curtain here.
Yeah.
Under the duvet.
Where do you get your ideas from?
Depression. I didn't hear the second half of the tweet. Was it, that's where boners go to die?
I said.
What sort of chicken?
Last night it was just some chicken breast.
Oh.
Yeah.
So no bones.
So, yeah.
Look, I took some creative license with it. Sure.
It's coming out, pal. Yeah. I don't like chicken with bones in it.
Yeah. Jesus.
Any cartilage?
This is becoming, you made it weird very quickly.
Was it a Uber Eats delivery or did you make
it? No,
you made the chicken yourself and then went to retire to the bedroom.
I was cold.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't get good heating in my apartment and I just got new flannel sheets.
Wait, how'd you cook the chicken breast? Just poached?
No, fried it.
What?
Just like a full breast? Or do you cut it up into strips or something?
Was it cooked all the way through?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
It was. Good.
Yeah, you have
that's
a
really important.
You make little carvings in it. Yeah, just for texture.
Oh. Really? So you just like a big old thick breast and you cook it until
One time I eat a chicken breast in bed, I get the third degree here.
Oh, the one time.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Sure.
So can you plead the fifth in a podcast? Is that applicable in this case?
Just imagine you with Uber Eats open and you're scrolling through like one chicken breast option at the restaurants and going, you know what? I'm going to cook mine at home today.
Remove flavor?
So far from this tweet, we found out that it wasn't a bone and also it's only the one time. Could you say, I ate a lot of chicken in there. So
how are you going to get the ladies into your room?
Are you lying to us on Twitter?
I am lying to you guys in Twitter. The most truthful tweet I've ever said. I one time tweeted, hi, Josh, because I thought I was going to be invited on this podcast and wanted you to scroll through that.
Oh, so we know how he's getting the ladies in the bedroom. He's saying, I love breasts.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I love to score them a little bit and then cook
for
them.
Texture.
For texture.
I didn't have to make the great
emotion,
but
seasoning. All right.
Question four. If you say you don't want any dessert, but turn around and demand to eat some of the dessert that your friends have ordered when it comes out, you're a criminal. Go to jail.
Alistair Trombley Birchall.
Yes, Al.
Is that Alex Warren?
No, that was Bart Freeband.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, point there for Bart. Yeah.
Telling the hard truths.
No, I'm sorry about painting you with a dessert.
No, the
brush.
Amazing thing is I went to say my name. Did you hear that? So you would have known.
You know what? I was so focused on trying to get my name out for the first time. Yeah.
I think this is a real partner move. This is a real, feel like any, and then it comes out and they take half of
get
it.
Get in on it.
Same with beers.
It's brutal. I want to eat all the dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, same with beers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be out and I'll go, I want to get a beer. And my wife will say, oh, no, I don't want one. And then when it comes out, she goes, can I have a sip of that? And I'm like, I could have just got your own one. I'm happy to do this, but just let it be known.
Do you ever give her the first sip?
The first sip.
Or do you?
Yeah, I give her the first sip. I this is a big thing for me. I let her, if I buy a newspaper.
I allow it.
I will let her read it before I get a chance to read it.
Oh.
Now, I never used to be able to do that with any partner.
Yeah.
With Beck.
Women.
That's how you know it's real love.
Love's made you grow.
Yeah. I'm an adult now.
I'm popping down the shops. Do you want me to buy you a newspaper? Yeah, all right. Actually, I wonder what Garfield's up to today.
Just a little taste.
Question five. Before I send out a tweet, I imagine myself as Babe Ruth, pointing into the bleachers towards a sign that says, one retweet, four faves.
Alex and John Lee Ritchell.
Yes, I heard Al.
No, I think she, okay, she said
Alex.
Okay.
No, it's okay. No, it doesn't matter.
No, oh. You actually got in first.
No, it doesn't matter.
Can I? It's, right, I'm going to say my name okay. too.
But... All right, Tim.
You are correct, yes.
I was definitely going to say Tim.
It's got a real Clark flavor to it.
Yeah. Also, my other wheelhouse is tweeting about tweeting.
Yeah.
Meta.
Yeah.
But
meta.
Do you know the numbers on that one?
No.
I think by putting one retweet, four faves, mm-hmm. you made people go, I'll show him. So you got about three retweets at 20 faves. So,
I do know that because it was a very dicey first 24 hours on that tweet where there was no RTs and it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I've shot my load here too. Babe Ruth's all over the place here.
Yeah. I always think after 24 hours it's your window's closed, but that... No,
that's when you can retweet yourself, baby. New tweet cycle.
No, but I think now with some stuff with the algorithm where they're like, so here's some stuff you missed yesterday, occasionally.
Yeah.
Something that's got a little bit of traction can get that little bit more the next day.
Yeah. Tweeting about tweeting is like open mic comedy about open mic comedy. Yeah. Oh. Very funny and relatable to everyone.
Yeah. Songs about songwriting. No thanks.
Everyone loves it.
Question six. My hairless cat just regurgitated a skin ball.
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Alistair.
You are correct. Yes, that's correct. Right.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Thanks, guys.
You sound like you have a cat.
Yeah, I don't own one.
You don't have a hairless cat?
You should.
No, you know, I've never owned any felines.
I was going to ask whether or not it started hairless and just gradually became hairless.
It was just through stress that it became.
There's a lot of fake news on this section.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of fake news.
That's why it's fun. That's why it's fun.
Yeah.
So I can imagine you as a cat owner. I think everyone's right. You should get a cat.
I just don't like taking care of other creatures.
You have a child.
Having a child was a mistake, yeah.
Yeah.
Question seven. I was in every episode of Ninja Warrior, but you couldn't see me, proving once and for all that I am the truest ninja of all.
Alistair.
Yes, Al.
Bart.
No, that was Tim. No!
A ninja strikes again.
So sneaky.
Lurking in the shadows.
It was about ninjas. Yeah. There was exaggeration involved.
It had that whimsy Bart vibe.
Josh left off hashtag Finty at the end there to really throw it off.
Hashtag gravy out. I was listening to the tweet going, that's a great tweet. Yeah. That's a really good tweet.
He's stealing your essence.
Yeah, I couldn't say anything because I'm like, I'm jealous of that tweet. How do I steal it?
Question eight. Jumping on an hour-long flight, better pick up a packet of snakes, Chico babies, couple of Kit Kats, a gym ball machine, and a whole pizza.
Also, John Lee Bridgel.
Yes, Al.
Alex Ward.
You are correct. He has a point there for ATB. Awesome.
So on the board. I saw that one live.
Such a long name and so fast with it.
What's your go-to snack for a flight, Alex?
I don't have one.
Not
an hour flight.
You can go without a snack?
I can usually make it through.
When they're coming through with the little thing, with your complimentary snack?
Complimentary snack. I'll take it sometimes. What would you take? I would always prefer savoury.
Me too.
I am sweet enough.
Oh.
All right. Didn't deserve a lot.
Do you say that to the... stewards every time.
Every single time.
Cool. All right. Yeah. That's why you're on the no-fly list.
Yeah. You say spendings as well when they ask for savings?
I say it as soon as I get on the plane.
Wait.
The ticket machine doesn't work. Oh, I guess this one's free.
What's your favorite item off of the Tiger menu?
I've never flown Tiger.
Never flown Tiger.
I haven't either.
Never flown Tiger.
Well, the President of Emirates here.
Where's my scum at? No one's bought food off the Tiger. Oh, man, I'll eat anything.
I've seen it, but I've never... They got $12 for a party pie. I mean,
no, they got it's relatively. Do they have an egg sandwich? You can get like, eh?
Do they have an egg sandwich?
I would never order an egg sandwich.
I swear, I remember thinking once when I went.
No, but they often offer the egg sandwich in a small compartment.
In the worst places. 7-Eleven, Woolworths. Egg sandwiches.
Just a can of tuna that you could just crack open and eat with a fork or eat with your finger.
It, yeah. Fingering tuna into your mouth in the middle of seat.
Draining it onto the seat rest in front of you. Oh.
In the pocket. Yeah. In the pocket where there's the...
I do feel like that's what women going through menopause do. Just always have a can of tuna on them to get going.
I tweeted about that ages ago. One of my 10.
I thought I wrote that.
No,
so.
You did.
Question nine. In the end, they're going to reveal the Thai soccer team had been inside of us the whole time.
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
ATB?
You are correct, yes.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, and I love a sort of happy ending.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like in a movie.
Yeah. Now, can I ask, did you have that saved?
Some movies are sad.
Yeah. I'm assuming you had that saved and drafted, just waiting for a good ending? Because if those kids had died, just like, all right, saving that one.
You can go back and delete.
Yeah.
You can
go
back. Biggest save since Chilean Miners, yeah. I think, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been real fun seeing Elon throwing himself.
That's been my favorite thing
himself
ever.
In there,
this morning,
destroying his reputation.
He does it, and then he builds himself back up again.
Yeah,
he builds a rocket that solves hunger.
Yeah. Elon Musk fascinates me. Why does everyone just hate him? Is it just his personality? Because he's trying to do good stuff in the world.
I mean, he called the guy a pedo.
He did.
Yeah, that's no good.
Seems to be a philanthropic industrialist.
Yeah.
That has no media training, that just flies off the handle on Twitter.
Yeah.
Does good stuff, it seems like, for the most part.
If my high school debating team was anything to go by, calling someone a pedo, valid argument.
Yeah.
I think this is insane. He's trying to make a submarine now to go back and prove that he could have saved it. If I had been here earlier,
driven
I would
by
have
an
saved
actual
him.
Pedo.
Yeah.
There was a guy at my high school who repeated year 10. So he could compete and try and break the sports records.
Oh.
Like, and I know that was the reason why he did it, because he was about second or third every year, and then he got to go back
and compete
against the 15-year-old boys.
Man. I just think Elon is a perfect example who's like, he's giving people food they need but calling them cunts at the same time.
Yeah. You guys are hungry. You cunts want some blankets?
Yes. Okay.
And all the blankets will have his name on
them. Yeah. And his face.
Yeah. It's all about branding.
Yeah.
Have some press shots.
Question 10, our last question for the round. Kites are fake birds on a leash.
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Is that Al again?
No, that was Bart. Bart.
You got a point, bro?
Yeah.
He's got a couple
of
points.
I mean,
wow.
It's about time, Bart.
It's resonating.
Yeah.
Alex is really Elon Musk in this podcast.
Yeah. At the end of the round, the scores are Al on 1 point.
Alex.
You got a point, bro.
Alex on 2 points. Bart on 3 points. But our winner on 4 points, or in the lead so far. I shouldn't say winner. It's too early to say. It's Tim Clark on 4 points. Yay!
He's the president for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, this round is called Year Book. Now, in this round, we go back in time and talk about one of our school days. And today we're talking about a young Alastair Trombley Birchall. Now, Al was once studying philosophy when he was 6 weeks late on an assignment. But how did he convince his lecturer to let him get an extension without losing any marks? Was it A, he presented an argument about what is time and why would we put a limit and timestamp on our ideas? And while he could tell the lecturer wasn't 100% buying this, he let him get away with it because he felt the lecturer just wanted to go and have their lunch. Was it B, Al pretended that he was mentally unwell and forced himself to cry in front of the lecturer? Or C, Al told the lecturer that he found a lump on his testicles and was too scared to go to the doctor, so therefore he didn't have a doctor's certificate. He then went into a story that this philosophy class was the only thing getting him through and he couldn't afford to fail it. Now, one of these is true. You can ask Al as many questions as you want. Mm-hmm. Bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point.
Yeah.
The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Hey, everybody.
All right. I believe you possibly actually cried. It wasn't pretty.
Yeah, that's quite. It's,
in
that's
all
actually,
three scenarios.
Yeah. I mean, you know, finding out that you have testicular cancer can be quite traumatic.
Yeah. Well, if you only have 6 months to live, but then again, what is time?
Exactly. Yeah. That's so bad. There's quite a mixture of all the three. Yeah. You know?
So you said there was studying philosophy. Was this a high school class or was this university?
No, this was university, but it was like I was doing engineering, but I just kind of took a philosophy elective.
Why 6 weeks?
Why six
that's
weeks
very long. Like, I mean, like, even, like, it's a long time to even be too scared to go to the doctor. Like, what? Okay, that's my choice. What were you doing for the 6 weeks?
For the 6 weeks?
You weren't going to the doctor? Just looking at your balls?
Oh, no, it was the 6 weeks that I wasn't doing the assignment. So you're asking about why with going to the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's just spooky finding a lump on your testicles.
Like ghost spooky?
Hey?
Like Ouija board spooky?
It's kind of Ouija board spooky. Like, well, the thing is that like I knew in the past that I'd had ball pain from just stress, from just stress around exam periods.
So you and get so, sore balls when you're worried.
Yeah, right. That was something that was happening. And so then suddenly I didn't trust my own self because then I'd gone and got them like ultrasounded and everything like that, and then there was nothing wrong. And so then this time I was like, look, there's probably I could feel a lump, right? But it might just be the back of the, you know, like the string where it attaches to mm-hmm. the ball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. And I'm done with embarrassing myself in front of doctors. So yeah. I'm just going to sit here and stress. And I'm also not going to do my philosophy assignment.
Mr. Birchall, it's your second testicle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You sound like a doctor with all that fancy ball string.
Yeah, talk. Thanks.
Technical.
He doesn't call it a banjo chord like a layman.
No. I have a podcast called We Are Doctors.
So scenario one, you convince him what is time. How long if he's
or
waiting?
Her.
To, or
it's,
her.
It's,
yeah.
It's 2018.
Or them.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
them.
Yeah. 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 Was a her.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad, whether real or fake, I'm glad there's a little caveat at the end where you say that they weren't buying it and just wanted lunch, because it did sound like one of those forwards you would get in the 90s, which is, and then the name of that student, Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
I just assumed man because of the balls thing. Like you just talking to this young lady about your ball string.
I've found in the past that if you do want to get out of something, you say something that's more shocking.
To that gender.
To that gender would be more shocking to say it to a woman. But, you know, often if you're calling in for work or what a sick or whatever, if you just say the words, sorry, I got diarrhea or something like that. They're just going to go, cool. You deal with that like that. So,
how many times have you used testicular cancer as an excuse?
I've used the specter of testicular cancer. Look, it's
listeners,
I think now that I have a kid, I don't need to use cancer as an excuse to get out of things.
Now, why are you throwing that Livestrong bracelet in the bin?
You know, so, yeah, I look, three maybe?
Three.
With number one, how long did it take to convince her? Like, she's waiting to go to lunch.
Yeah.
Like, how long did it take?
Well, she had an open door policy, so I thought if I... But also, I didn't want to be in there for too long.
Yeah.
And so I just assumed, look, I kind of read a few... like short essays on the way there just to kind of get a few arguments in the bag about time.
I love you talking about time. She's just glancing at her watch.
God damn, this is the third ball cancer scare.
What is time? She's like, about 20 minutes left of my lunch, to be honest.
Yeah. And like, although, you know, maybe I was kind of taking it more jokingly. I was using some of my patented weak humor, and so you know, it's like, is this a joke? Is this real? And so then I think that's kind of why she was able to kind of like palm it off a little bit.
What was your assignment meant to be on?
Oh, I think it was like it was on a topic of Schopenhauer and Nietzsche, and I think it's something to do with the will to power. I still don't know at this point what it meant.
That definitely sounds like two philosophers that come up if you Google right before this podcast, famous philosophers.
Yeah.
But part of the story is real. He actually did do a philosophy course.
Yeah, because that's consistent between all the three answers.
I submit that he's never been to uni and in fact isn't even real. Yeah. What is real?
With the fake crying, what did you think of to induce crying? I just realized now saying that out loud, that's a very bad question to get a funny answer from.
No.
Take it away with your patented weak humor.
Well, it was only crying in that it was on command, but I think I tapped into, I guess, what regular actors, like real actors, would consider just like stimulating real emotion out of just willing it. You know, just go like, I'm just having a hard time right now. and it's just, that's like, I mean, why would I be 6 weeks late and still trying? Like, I understand that this assignment is losing like 2% a day. Mm. You know, it's like even to show my face would be insanity.
Weeks, that's like 84%.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you just squeezed your like sore ball?
So my sore ball. Yeah.
With the fake crying and all that, did you get to like 3 weeks and think, nah, not long enough, and I need to intentionally get myself a bit further on so it seems like I'm really losing it?
I think, you know, it's in this kind of the same way that people give Trump too much credit for, like, having planned everything.
Yeah.
This was, I knew it was due. I probably started it the night before, and then I realized I'm not going to get this done. Right? And so I just thought, let's just let this stew for another 6 weeks or so.
I feel like it was one day late, and you just went and signed up at NIDA. Yeah. And they broke you down so that you'd be out of cry in six weeks.
So when did you decide to start manipulating people with your balls?
Look, I think you probably I used to wet the bed, so I'd always knew that you could get emotions out of people using your genitalia.
Yeah.
Right? Because they know your parents wake up in the middle of the night.
True.
And they're kind of, you know, not they're not upset with you, but they're like, not again.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think from a really early age, maybe five or something like that, I knew that there was power in that region.
All right. That's why every one of your festival shows ends with you pissing your pants like on stage.
And crying. That is genuinely one of my dreams. Of every night of a festival, I'm like, nah, you want edgy? This is edgy. I'm genuinely pissing myself every night.
I would love the 50-minute turnaround between shows, mopping up the floor while the next act's going. Yeah. He's pissed himself again.
And in the end, the urine was inside us all.
But you're not thinking about the preparation that you're putting in before the show, where because you have to have a guaranteed huge piss.
Have a drink of water.
So you got to have, a drink of water. Yeah.
And you got to probably be holding on the whole show.
The whole show.
That 40-minute mark where you do your swimming pool story and your waterfall story and then get the whole audience to just whistle at you, that's really going to come in handy.
I'd love to see the trial show of that where you piss yourself 10 minutes in and think, nah,
damn it.
I should have, I got to restructure this. Yeah. That's a closer.
Show title, Daddy's Got a Wee Wee.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
What do you think, Tim? Are you going to lock in an answer?
I'm going to lock in number one.
A for Tim, which is why? What is time? Mm-hmm. Alex.
Three. You ball
think
cancer.
You think ball cancer? And Bart,
I'm going B for balls.
No,
but it's just B. But I'm choosing B for balls. It's a B code that I've figured out.
So you thought he said that he was mentally unwell and forced himself to cry.
But
the balls are the balls. Guy.
Yeah. It's the we've talked about balls a lot. I've got to stick to it. Also, everyone else has picked the ones.
Yeah. No,
I don't want to be the same as everyone else.
Good strategy, because you are correct. It was B. He pretended he was mentally unwell. So 2 points for Al, 1 point for Bart there.
Always knowing you're mentally unstable.
Yeah, no, I just pretended.
Your new show next year, Daddy's Gonna Wee Wee?
Yeah, or Wee Wee's Gonna Daddy.
Oh.
That's a fucking awful shirt they sell at Cotton On. Wee Wee's Gonna Daddy.
So how did you pretend you were mentally unwell?
I just
pissed yourself.
So were you taking a philosophy course and an engineering degree?
Eating tuna with your hands out of the can.
I had just decided that I was like, because I mean, I'd backed myself into a corner. I was like, I haven't done this assignment. I've got to figure out a way so that I can finish this degree and get the credits for this thing. So I was just like, well, the only option is to pretend like I'm just at the moment, I'm just having a breakdown and just not going good. And so I just went in there and I was like, I'm sorry. And just kind of like built up over it. I was like, things have not been going good right now. I think I might have mentioned somebody dying or something like that. And then, I really worked my way up to the point.
As a side note, I think someone's died.
I think someone's died. I think my grandma.
Extra credit.
Yeah. And then like.
Watch still.
And then she told me to go see a counselor. And then I think I did. Anyway, I was like, just in case she catches me, or she's checking in with the counselor. Yep.
Nothing if not fastidious.
At the end of that round, the scores are Alex on 2 points, ATB on 3 points, Yoo-hoo. Bart on 4 points, and also on 4 points is Tim. Yeah.
You.
All right, this round. Is that from Duck Hunter?
I think it sounded a bit like baseball, a little bit.
Yeah, Pac-Man just died.
Yeah. All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, if it's a lie, you say nah. A point if you get it right, a point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So to Al, now Bart,
and some friends once went to the casino. They had to check their bags in, and the lady at the check-in insisted that she look in the bags before they checked them in. Bart tried to convince her not to do that, but she was adamant. The lady checked Bart's bag only to reveal a 12-inch dildo. Yeah or nah? You can ask him as many questions as you want.
What color was the dildo?
Black.
Real power move.
Yeah. What color was the bag?
Black. the bag was a camouflage bag.
Camouflage
bag?
Yeah,
because I don't actually know why I had a camouflage bag, but I did.
Have backpack or side pack?
Trying to hide all those dildos.
It's got to carry, it's army regulation dildos. it is two-strap backpack, yeah.
Two-strap, okay, great. Yeah. Is there such a thing as a one-strap backpack?
Well, if you're wearing it on your back.
Yeah.
Saddlebag. Oh, people wear those on your backs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Then he had it.
Yeah, you've got to open up your mind to the world.
I feel like all I say is focusing on the least interesting part of
all right,
the dildo.
Why did you have the dildo?
We had it for a play.
What was the play about?
The play was about math.
Right. Well, in what was the use of the dildo in the play?
There was he's the sexy addition boy.
Pythagoras?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I call the sexy addition boy.
Yeah.
This doesn't add up, but this does.
So you're doing a play about maths, and you've got a dildo for the sexy addition boy.
Yeah.
How is the sexy addition boy using the dildo?
He wears tights, tidy tights, and we stuff it down his pants, so it looks like he's got a giant throbbing.
Okay, what's he wearing up top?
Up top, he's got like a bejeweled leather jacket.
What was the play called?
It's called 1 + 1 =
When the sexy addition boy was getting into it, did it have to follow bid mass? Like, they have to start with brackets, then indices, then multiplications.
We're talking, what was it, sin, tan, cos.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're rolling on those waves.
Right, and what was, like, the relevance of this guy having a big dick in the play?
Well, he just gets really turned on by math.
And how does he move the dildo to make it look like he's getting turned on?
It's
probably upwards.
It's always he's always.
Did
doing
he actually that. Get turned on? It just pushed it up.
There'd be another little dickie would appear.
Who are you performing this to?
To not a lot of people.
What was the venue?
We were in. This was for Melbourne
the casino.
Fringe. Melbourne Fringe, like 8 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
No, okay, no, but in order for the dick to get aroused, right, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Means
the dildo.
That means, yeah, it's the dildo.
Already, it's a 12-inch dildo. It's already aroused.
Okay, so he's aroused the whole time, so it doesn't become aroused at different times. He's just in a full stag state the whole
constant,
time.
Constant, yeah.
Did you get the moose head for this?
We won Barry, best newcomer, director's choice,
Edinburgh
moose head.
Fringe.
Edinburgh
ironically,
Fringe.
No piece of wood.
No piece of wood, strangely.
And also it was in Melbourne Fringe. That was amazing. You won all the comedy awards.
An Emmy, a Grammy.
Really?
Yep.
What do you think, Al?
I reckon this is false.
You are incorrect. It actually is a true story. I don't know how much of Bart's story is true, but it is true. What I said was true. A point there for Bart.
I told a lot of lies.
Wait. I feel like the information that he gives has to be true, right?
Not at all.
No. Oh, right.
He
so he can
how
just...
he wants.
There's no rules here.
I thought there were rules.
So there's actually a dildo.
So we, Tommy Dasilo, Dave Cal and I did a show called All the Single Ladies, which was a satire on pickup artists. And Dave Callan was the kind of awesome pickup artist that we, as two losers, hired to teach us, the guru. And one of his traits was that he was meditating one day and he unleashed his kundalini, you know, power, and he just has a constant boner all the time. And he'd come out to this rock music, and it was probably the funniest part of the show.
Right.
With this dick. And then I had it afterwards for years, and I used to use it when friends had come over to stay. I'd like leave it in the bathroom. It was one of the best things I'd ever spend money on. It literally, I kind of miss it.
Can't imagine you three rocking up to the casino as well for an after
party. Yeah, I think, I don't know exactly what was going on there, but the lady, when she checked, gave me like a real sly wink. Like, I know what's going on here. I'm like, you don't know what's going on here.
And it's for a play is the... Oh, such a lie. Yeah. Oh, it's for a play.
It's for my dancing.
I'm growing a beard for a play. Yeah. No, you're not. All right, yeah. Now to Bart. Mm-hmm. Last year, Tim was flown to far north Queensland for a work conference where the entertainer was a snake handler. The snake got startled and escaped. Tim found it and helped the handler uncoil the snake from the bottom of a mechanical bull. Yeah or nah?
Yeah. I want it to be true. What a work conference. Is this for Emirates?
Yes, it's for Emirates. We flew up there. We flew Tiger. Ironically. Okay.
Strange.
Great egg sandwiches. Yeah. No, I just won like Employee of the Year at the call center I work at. And wow. They flew me, for second year in a row, I won it. And they flew me up to far north Queensland. And they just had a technical work conference, but more like a paid holiday.
Okay.
And they had all this entertainment there. They had like a jumping castle and mechanical bull.
It sounds like a school fete.
Kind of was, yeah. We love more drinking.
Corn dogs?
No, we didn't have that. We just had make our own tacos, a little taco buffet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go by yourself?
Well, I went by myself, but there was a whole bunch of people from work there as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. I thought they just gave you the gift and then they said go.
Yeah, just go to
the bull, ride the bull.
Entertain yourself.
Right.
Go up there.
Did you go up there with like people from different regions, the different call centers in different areas?
Yeah, all different, a lot of people from Queensland already, so that's why they chose that place. But a lot of people in different states and a lot of different managers coming up as well. And in fact, the snake handler was the brother of one of the higher up managers.
Nepotism in its finest form. Yeah. Mm. All right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Bart?
What sort of snakes are we talking here?
Well, I am no amateur snake handler like the guy they hired.
Yeah.
But nothing dangerous, all nothing right. venomous. But it was a big, thick boy, 12 inches.
12 inches black.
He bought it black and veiny. In a black camouflage bag.
Oh, this is sounding familiar. Yeah. Big, thick, veiny boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say true.
You are correct. Yes, it was true.
It was correct.
Oh, man, it's a great story.
Yeah. I also injured my arm seriously that night because I was drunk on the jumping castle.
Oh.
And I was doing too many pro wrestling elbow drops from the top.
Not on anyone.
No. Just on.
Just practicing.
Yeah, just practicing.
For when you really
when I get the call out for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So how did the snake just get out?
It was so slow. He put it on his sister, who actually was one of the higher ups, and she was like scared stiff, and it was like, yeah. And then it started calling down her body, and it was like, no, don't startle it. Don't startle it. Just let it go. And then it's just slowly left her body. Amazing. And was going across.
It went to ride the bull.
Exactly. Should we be stopping this? And the snake handler, I think, wasn't really paying attention. And by that time, it had curled itself up inside the mechanical bull. Yeah. It's the most Queensland thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Rumbos, need a ute to get it out.
Do you remember the Logies when Steve Irwin had the snake and it bit one of the newsreaders who was sitting in the front row?
Oh, yeah, oh, he had it on stage and it kind of like flicked it out.
And he kind of went, and it bit, like, not Mal Walden, one of the newsreaders on the thigh. And they never bring it up. Yeah. Wow. Steve Irwin's thigh.
Yeah.
But it's still one of the highlights of the Logies.
It's notable. Ooh. It's really notable.
Should have been in his in memoriam.
Someone should be bitten by a different animal every year. Yeah.
Just them trying to change the subject and bring up a more lighthearted animal attack at his funeral.
Yeah. All right, now to Tim. Now, when Alex was a teenager, she had a job where she would wash dogs. Alex and her boss would drive in the mobile dog washmobile and wash them on the owner's property. One day, a dog bit the other lady who she was washing the dogs with, the boss, and escaped from the truck. While her boss was dealing with the bite, Alex went running for the dog. She had no phone and also didn't really know where she was. An hour later, Alex realised that she was completely lost and then spent the next 3 hours wandering around trying to find the dog wash before just giving up and going home. Yeah or nah? Now, there's a lot in that one, Pax.
A lot. Okay. So were you driving the car yourself or were you just sitting next to them?
Next to them because I was 14 years old.
Okay, well, there we go. That answers all my questions. Story checks out. Cars were invented before her time. So.
Sometimes I'd sit on her lap.
Hey.
No.
I was 14 years old.
I don't know what Elon would have to say about that.
That sounded like we were about to prep for the worst impression ever. Yeah. I wonder what Elon Musk would have to say about
that. Oh, hello.
Now, the main question is, did you find the dog after chasing after it for an hour?
No, I didn't find the dog.
Okay.
It's in a suburb called Brassel in Ipswich.
Okay.
Didn't find the dog. But then, like, because I was 14, once my shift ended, my mum came to get me. I just walked back to the pickup point. And I just had to leave the dog and Jan.
Okay. So, and you haven't seen Jan since. No one knows.
No, I worked a bit. They forgave me. They paid me $10 an hour.
Yeah, it's...
They were going to forgive me.
Mm. So you knew where the pickup point was. You just didn't know where the car was. Oh, I'm assuming the car
No,
would have
I couldn't
gone.
Find the washing place because I knew like we weren't far from the pickup place, but it's like the only two streets I knew. And okay. Then I asked someone and then found my way back there. But I don't know what house we were at with the washer.
Okay. And what kind of dog was it? Like a
Cocker Spaniel.
Mm. Good dog.
They're crazy.
They're good
but they
dogs.
Can be crazy.
Yeah.
Very cute.
No road sense.
Smushed face.
Mm. Yeah. Especially after the no road sense.
Yeah. Floppy ears.
And I stank. I remember I smelled like wet dog.
How would that happen?
I didn't shower as a child.
Would you know, like, once the dog was, I'm assuming there's a happy ending and the dog was returned. Or I got attacked by a big black rainy snake.
I think it did, but I honestly don't remember.
So Jan and you never went back to wash it again?
Well, I think like Jan was just the strangest lady and didn't ever bring it up again. But I imagine it was fine, or she probably would have brought it up.
Jan is actually still there.
She's still waiting.
She's trying to find
waiting.
That. Yeah. Come here, cocky. Yeah.
$10 per hour since then. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm going to go yeah. Because losing a 14-year-old for over 3 hours doesn't seem too crazy.
You are incorrect. Ah. It was, point there for Alex.
And I wish someone had asked me the name of the dog washing company.
Oh, what was the dog washing company?
Oh, Blue Wheelers.
Blue Wheelers, that's good.
Good name.
Did you actually work for a mobile washing?
Never in my life have I worked for a mobile washing company.
You've washed a dog before, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know what it's about.
I sure have.
So you went into that place, right? In your actor in you went into that place of washing a dog. And that's
I actually went into the place of like walking around suburbia in Ipswich and being lost before. That was a better place.
So to Alex, now when Al was 18, he booked in to get a tattoo of the Batman logo on his arm. When he went to get it, though, his friend who was giving him the lift cancelled on him.
Mm.
Looking back, Al is so grateful that they cancelled because now he doesn't have a Batman logo tattooed onto his arm.
Yeah,
yeah or nah?
How old were you?
I was 18.
18. Where were you living?
Well, I just finished high school, but I was on a trip to Canada. Right after high school, I went straight to Canada. So
you were in Canada?
I was in Canada at the time. Okay. But I was just staying at my grandma's. In Montreal.
That's nice. So you're in Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay. And have you always been a massive Batman fan?
What? No, but it was a few years after the Batman and Robin, and I just had really liked that one.
Which Batman and Robin?
Like, there was Batman Forever, then there was Batman and Robin.
Uh-huh.
I realize now that it wasn't a good movie. Yeah.
Is that the one with Poison Ivy?
That had Poison Ivy. It also had Mr. Freeze as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And also Batgirl, Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
Is Bane also in that one? A really bad Bane? There's one that's got a really bad Bane.
No, don't.
Yeah, real bad Bane.
Yeah, is he bad Bane?
Bad Bane.
I can't remember Bane now.
Yeah.
I gotta say that Batman tattoo really would have come in handy when you were trying to pretend to be depressed.
You would have not had to do any assignments.
There's a chance it would have said Batman and Robin.
It was around the same time. So is it colored?
No, it wouldn't have been colored at the time. There wasn't that kind of technology.
Everything was still black and white.
Everything.
Alistair, by the way, listeners, is 85 years old.
No, but I thought
Alistair only got color tattoos when his auntie Jack started getting colored in.
I wasn't aware of color in tattoos until about 3 years ago.
All right. So I think that's more about you than the one.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, at the time, I was always assuming it was going to be that kind of tattoo blue.
All right. So this is a plain black or, like, blue, just no frills, any particular details?
Was it the Batman, just Batman on its own, or was it
the special
Batman and Robin one they did for the movie with little Robin in the middle?
No, it would have actually been, like the sort of like the font of the Batman and Robin movie, but it would have just said Batman potentially and Robin.
Oh, so it wasn't. Wait, oh. it wasn't the Batman logo. It was just the words Batman.
That's actually one of the worst tattoos I can think of. And I wish
because when I was a kid, the Batman logo, especially in those early days, I used to have nightmares about it because it used to look like teeth. It used to look like a mouth and teeth kind of thing. And I never liked that. And I wouldn't want to have that kind of feel carried around on my arm at all times. So if you're really clear, this is not some weird mouth fanged teeth thing.
Part of just Batman is confronting your fears. Mm. Yeah. You know, that is part of what Batman is.
Yeah, but then also solving problems, you know?
We were at home one night and the words Batman flew through a window.
Yeah, I had the word Batman fall on me as a child.
Terrified of the font.
What do you think, Alex?
Yep.
You think this is true?
Yeah.
You are incorrect.
He actually has on his arm.
Yeah, I did get it.
I wanted it to be true.
Oh, so bad.
It's the word Batman and Robin.
And potentially Robin. Batman and potentially
I would have decided when I got there.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you got a cover-up tattoo that says Bruce Wayne over it.
At the end of the round, the scores are Alex on 3 points, on 4 points, ATB also on 4 points, but in the lead now on 6 points is Bart Freebang.
Well done,
bro. Time to lose some points. Time to lose some points in this round.
You can lose some points because this round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions all about you guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzer. You can get a point if you get it right. You get a point if you get it wrong. You can't buzz in for your own ones. So here is the first question. Who once drunkenly entered a Seinfeld trivia competition as a team of one and was victorious?
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Tim.
You are correct. Yes, point there for Alex. Just
smelled like Tim.
Yeah, it just
won.
I won. Yeah.
You know a lot of stuff.
I do. I can't remember the night. I was blackout drunk and I got tagged in a photo the next night showing that I've won.
such a Kramer thing to do.
Yeah. And I remember my team name was Team The Simpsons. Just to fucking piss off everyone in that pub.
Oh, really good.
How old were you into this?
This was like within the last 5 years. Oh. I can't remember. My friend was running it.
Yeah.
So mysterious.
Would have gone home and celebrated with some chicken.
Yeah.
Nice. Quest. Scored breasts in bed.
Yes. Time to go to the boneyard. Celebrate this victory alone.
Ooh, this chicken is making me thirsty.
Question two. Who at age 10 was so mean to their babysitter that the babysitter quit?
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Alex?
You are correct. Yes, I put there for Tim.
So mean. What did you do?
Just disrespected her constantly until she cracked. Oh, wow. She was a very anxious woman.
Full mean girls, like Regina George.
Did she quit on the job or was it she it went home pretty and bad. Rang up your parents she quit and went, on, I can't do it again?
She quit on the job. I was just going to go next door and play with my neighbour and it was my little brother she was already at breaking point and he goes, aren't you going to ask to go? And I go, she goes, yeah, aren't you going to ask? And I said, fine, can I please, with this like voice, like a 10-year-old. Oh. And then I ran out. Next thing you know, from the neighbour's house, I could just see her car going down the driveway.
Oh, wow.
She just left him, my brother, alone.
Wow.
How long left of her babysitting shift did she leave you alone for?
Yeah, like an hour.
Yeah.
Is that you? Older brother?
Little brother.
Mm-hmm. He was left there on his own.
Yeah, not very impressive.
So John?
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Question three. Who, while only wearing their underwear, stopped an intruder coming into the house they were staying in?
Alistair.
Yes, Al.
Bart.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Al.
What happened?
He took his clothes off.
Yeah. I stayed with a friend in Adelaide. Mm. In the middle of the day, I'm just in the spare room in like a shirt and undies.
Yeah.
And I hear banging and I run, like walk, like what's going on? Walk into the master bedroom and there's a man halfway in.
He's got a black mask over his eyes.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've been had. and I just went, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, oh, sorry. And then just backed out and left.
He dropped your dildo. He left.
I had it in my hand, all greased up.
It's always in your hand.
Yeah. It's the place to be.
Question four. Who had a budgie? Who owned a budgie that they named after a Power Ranger?
Tim.
Yes, Tim.
Alistair?
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point that to Tim.
All right.
Yeah.
What?
Which power?
It's called Tommy.
Oh, you're going to say the green one.
Yeah. Well, that was the green one. Tommy was the green one. I think he's one of the few that hasn't been arrested for, or like for murdering somebody or for, or been in like real hardcore.
You should get that tattoo.
He has.
Yeah.
Power Ranger.
Yeah, a lot of Power Rangers have ended up like murderers and or like in real bad.
Or been murdered themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
There can only be one.
It's that double identity thing. They think you can get away with anything.
It's really hard. Yeah. Yeah. And it's also the fact that they didn't have to perform any of those actual stunts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think he's in UFC now. I think maybe the red and the green are both in UFC.
Really?
Well,
really?
The cheap grade UFC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So if they do end up fighting, they'll combine.
Yeah.
And they'll get to fight everyone else. They just form two legs of a Zord walking through.
They beat everyone in the stadium.
Like, yeah. Next question. Who was once tackled to the ground while they were DJing because they played Dancing Queen five times in a row?
Alistair.
I heard Bart first.
Tim.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, yes. Bart.
It's great. It's the trolliest thing to do.
Yeah, it's great. It was a party, again, fairly recently, the last couple of years, where we took turns, everyone getting a shot at Spotify, and then everyone played their hits. Everyone played their Kendrick. Yeah. That's fine. That's cool. But do you know what I got? I got ABBA up my sleeve.
Yeah. And then
I started playing Dancing Queen over and over again until best newcomer winner Corey White tackled me to the ground.
Great.
Because he didn't want to hear it again.
What is this one song in your life that you can listen to the most times in a row?
I'll feel this one.
Yeah.
Well, Dancing Queen. Yeah.
What?
It was interesting to see how many people clued on about it.
Yeah. It takes a while.
Mm.
I would do the 8 hours Max Richter sleep one.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard this?
No.
He made this 8 hour long song that you're meant to fall asleep to.
Yeah, right.
And you do fall asleep.
And you would listen to it over and over again?
Well, I'll be asleep. How cozy.
Yeah, sure. It's pretty good.
But at some point, you got to wake up, right?
Yeah.
And then listen to some nice music. Yeah. All right, question six. Who here used to be a World of Warcraft guild leader?
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Alistair.
No, it was Bart.
Oh, no.
Like I thought you were going to tell this story before when you were talking about your working in the card shop.
Oh, yeah.
So I cut you off because I thought this is definitely going to come up.
No, I was talking about Magic the Gathering. I had old cards in Magic the Gathering that would be worth thousands of dollars now.
Oh.
But World of Warcraft came out when I was mid-20s,
yep.
I think. And
did you paint the little figurines?
No. I never went that deep. It was close.
Did you pay someone to paint them for you? Because that's way worse.
Come paint this wizard. I'm like, no, I'm not getting into that.
It's too deep.
There are beads of sweat going down my forehead right now.
Have you painted figurines?
I've painted some figurines before. I just like painting, so I didn't ever actually play it. I just like painting little figurines.
Artistic.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
You never played Warhammer?
I think played once. Didn't really understand the rules.
Did you play Al?
No, I've never played Warhammer.
No,
I've
never played
Alex, you didn't play Warhammer?
No, but I did paint the figurines.
Yeah.
My brother's figurines.
Yeah. So World of Warcraft I played solidly for 5 years, like 40 hours a week. And, guild, you've got 200 people.
Yeah.
And you're organizing raids. And there's drama.
Yeah.
And we were, because there's the Horde and the Alliance. In the game you can be, and we were the Horde, so our guild was called Horde Yakka. And I ended up quitting because I still like playing the game, but it was so much time dealing with the HR elements of, I was like, I can't play this game anymore. I have to quit.
Are you going back in now that they've kind of brought back the original version of World of Warcraft?
That was me
intentionally flubbing the line, so you don't think I'm a nerd, but yeah, I got it.
I know what's going on. I can't go back. I've burnt that out, I think. It's hard to do again. I think about it. I would have spent, because you can type time played and it'll tell you, and I would have played... like 150 days, 170 days on that game, like so much. I had a great time. I've met friends that I've still got. But
you still got those friends?
Yeah.
Those online friends.
Some of them have gotten married.
Did you have a little meetup?
Yeah. We had meetups and barbecues and stuff, friendship times. Yeah.
Did you ever kiss an orc on the lips?
More than once.
Yeah, right.
You got very spiky teeth.
Felt like warm apple pie.
Yeah.
Next question. Who here was caught at work Googling their comedy festival reviews? Who was caught Googling their own comedy festival reviews? Yes, Alex.
I need this point. Alistair?
No, it was Tim.
Oh, my God. I'm down to zero. I may as well.
It's not about the points.
I know. I want to be at zero. I want to see if it's possible.
Okay. Yeah, it's possible.
Go to negatives.
Mm.
It's possible.
Can you go negatives?
You can get negatives. We had one last week. Tim, so what happened?
So I...
It's great.
Yeah. Again, call center employee of the year. Not to brag. But they got me in to train some new people they were bringing into the office, and they...
Check this out.
You're like the slick gun that they use to fix problems.
ABC, always be Clarky.
Okay.
And they got me into like a little meeting room, and they played a projection of like a recording of my computer screen. And you could see what I was doing on a particular call, and I had to describe what I was doing in the keystrokes. And you could see in the corner, I just minimize it and then start Googling comedy festival reviews from last year.
From last year. So
from last year, yeah.
You're just reliving the memory.
You wanted to feel bad again.
Yeah, exactly. This was before comedy festival this year, so I wanted to see what we got from the year previous.
Chimp Cop.
This was our Chimp Cop show,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
So I had to describe how the... I had to say...
None of them know what Chimp Cop are. You just look like you're looking up reviews about monkeys.
Yeah,
I had to say what a Chimp Cop is.
That was you.
Yeah, and I had to say, look, it was a tough night. You know, it was preview shows.
You need that angst. Yeah. The angst drives the sales.
Yeah.
And then two of them came to the show this year.
Great.
But, you know, employee of the year.
Yeah, pretending to be mentally unstable can help, right?
Yeah. Tears sell tickets.
Next question. Who at age 3 used to escape from the house and go door to door telling the neighbours they haven't had any breakfast yet to try and score free breakfast?
Alistair. Tim?
Yes, Alistair.
Alex.
You are correct. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah!
You knew that.
Yeah. I tried. I'm not quick. I'm clearly just not quick enough.
You're enjoying the story too much.
I'm loving the stories. Yeah.
So what is the story behind this one?
I just found a way I could, like, it was, you know, the 80s and safe, and I found some holes in the backyard, and I knew that even at 2, I knew we knew the people behind and next to them, and I just would escape.
If I eat enough breakfast, I can get stuck in these holes.
Exactly. I just tell them I hadn't, like, mum was, like, doing stuff. I hadn't had breakfast. And I'd get more food. One day I escaped twice in the same day and ate. So I had 3 breakfasts
That's amazing.
3 is so young. Like, that would only be really, like a few months older than my kid.
Yeah.
If my kid disappeared.
To eat more?
No, but like, not just to eat more. If he was out of my house and like out where he could have been on the road or
spreading
something like that.
Lies about you.
It's crazy.
When mum tells the story, she's like, oh, the first time I just got the phone rang and it was just Carol down the road, and she goes, missing someone? She was
What a scary way of saying that as well.
Missing someone. I don't think so. Oh, Alex.
Sounds like you needed a babysitter.
Yeah. But none could do it.
Next question. Who was once pressured into starting a fight with the comedian Hannibal Buress? Who was pressured into starting a fist
fight? Alistair.
Yes, Al.
Bart.
No, it was Tim Clark.
What is going on?
I've just got a real beef with him.
Yeah.
Cosby through and through. Please cut that out.
edit point. Edit.
This was 2011. A friend of mine was in the Raw National Finals. And I don't know if I'd started doing comedy then or just about to, but I was with him and I saw him in the Melbourne Town Hall for the Raw National Finals. And he got me into the Hi Fi Bar. And that was the year Hannibal Buress was there.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to a guy who was also in the Raw Finals, Sam Campbell. Mm-hmm. Shout out. Congrats on the Barry again, mate.
Sammy.
We both got a photo with Hannibal Buress. I don't know where that photo's gone. It's out there somewhere. And then Campbell just one time just went, you know, we could just go up there and jump that guy. He was trying to get me to, come on, let's jump Hannibal Buress over there. And I didn't know who Hannibal Buress was at the time.
But you got a photo with him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he wasn't any, he was just...
Yeah, he was over here for the
just
headliners.
Yeah, him and Moshe Kasher and Tom Segura.
John Mulaney was in as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, the first year I did a comedy festival show, I was in the Hi-Fi as well. It was exciting. You're in the Hi-Fi bar. But Warwick Kappa, the footballer, was also in the Hi-Fi bar because he was doing show with some other people. And I was getting a tally to see how much it would me, because I wanted to Kappa Warwick Kappa, like jump up his back and yell Kappa.
Yeah.
And I got it up to like $500. People saying, if you do that, I'll chip in this. And I was really pumped to do it. And then one of the people who was in the show with him got wind that I was going to do it, came up to me and said, just so you know, if you do that, he will punch you through the wall. So you might
it's
not want to do it.
Very
big man.
Big man.
And also has a bad back from playing football.
Yeah.
And so it would have just been me being punched. I was like going, I could make the papers, though.
You would 100% make the papers.
Yeah.
That 500 would cover the rego for next year's show about you.
Yeah.
Desperately capping Kappa.
Yeah.
Oh, and our last question for the game. Who had a teacher tell them that Harry Potter was evil? Oh, Who had a teacher tell them that Harry Potter was as evil as pornography?
Bart.
Tim.
Yes, Bart.
Alistair.
No, it was Alex Ward.
Oh.
Point off Bart.
Woo! And it is.
It is very evil.
I've wanked to it heaps.
Yeah.
So what house would you be in?
What house would you wank in?
Yeah.
Hey.
Would you be a Hufflepuff?
I thought I'd be Gryffindor. I reckon I'm Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
But they're really smart. But maybe like the dumbest Ravenclaw? That would be me. Just made the cut.
Yeah. So like a little bit of Hufflepuff. Like you're like a Huffleclaw.
A Huffleclaw, yeah, yeah. I'm not, you know, Hufflepuff, they're gentle.
They are gentle.
At the end of the game, the scores are Alex on 2 points.
Oh, no.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
ATB on 5 points. Yes.
Do you think that's the winner?
Tim Clark on 6 points. And also on 6 points is Bart Freeman. We have a tie.
Not very unique.
We should give it to ATB so he doesn't cry.
Oh.
Okay.
Get better soon. At the end, that is the game. So thank you all for playing. Quick round of plugs. Where can people find you, Tim? Where can people find you on Twitter?
You're very funny on Twitter. At Mr. Timothy Clark on Twitter. Also Chimp Cop is a sketch troupe I'm in. Also run the Catfish Comedy at Gertrude Street, the Catfish Bar there every Tuesday night.
Awesome. Bart, where can people find you?
At Bartlow for Twitter and Instagram, bartlow.com website, and then We're Not Doctors and Finty Grimbles, the podcast.
Excellent. Yeah. Finty Grimbles.
Yeah, a little solo podcast I'm doing, just silly, nice. Me having silly chats with my own brain.
Great.
It's not very successful.
ATB.
I'm at AlistairTB on Twitter, and I'm in the Two in the Think Tank podcast where we come up with sketch ideas with Andy Matthews. And I was thinking the other day, my son said he wants to do it because, you know, he knows that work that is podcast. A podcast. So Indiana said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm doing a podcast. Right. And he had a plane and a fire engine. And he said, well, what's the podcast about? He said, it's going to be about police cars. And so I think if a plane and a fire, anyway, look out for that.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be called police cars.
Yeah. Donate to the Patreon to afford a breakfast for his son.
Yeah.
Alex, where can people find and see or hear you?
Oh, just call my name. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Instagram, Ward. Alex M. Ward on Twitter. Just add me on Facebook, whatever. I'm on Facebook too. And then that's it, I guess. What else am I plugging?
I don't know.
Yeah, some videos online.
That's what I ask at the end of the show.
Oh, you're going to Splendor in the Grass, the music festival? You can see me there.
Check out Alex's Sweet Tonightly clip.
Yeah.
I tweeted Kendrick that I would be on between 5 and 8 on Thursday, my comedy set. Has not replied. Ken has not gotten back to me.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Also, if you're in Melbourne, I'm Timbro at Catfish. I'm doing a whole season of Don't You Know Who I Am's Sundays at 4 p.m. at the Catfish.
Amazing.
So go to joshearl.com.au for tickets, $15 a ticket, or for a season pass, which is 7 shows at $75. So it's for the price
deal.
Of 5. It's
Good
gonna deal. Be great. Anyway, thank you very much for playing Don't You Know Who I Am. Until next time, bye.
See ya.
Bye.
See you later.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.